Good afternoon, Sarah. How are you?
I'm well, despite the horror story that we live in.
Okay, so that's horror on a different level.
Absolutely.
Okay, so can you just explain this title to me? Because I'm not sure what a getting rid of the social compact, if you want the economy to improve. What is a social compact?
It's the relationship that's between business, the government and the unions to try and resolve a range of issues in the economy. NEDLAC is the most obvious example of it because it is the forum at which these three groupings, as well as a grouping representing the community, meet together to discuss labor legislation, etc. Now, we obviously know what I'm going to say is not likely to be achieved, but that doesn't necessarily mean it isn't highly desirable. And that is that, as far as I'm concerned, more and more people agree with me, the unions should not be a part of a compact with labor and business. And the reason I say this is because the business bring something to any discussion about the economy that could involve growth and the building of businesses and the creation of employment. The labor movement cannot. The labor movement by its nature is largely a reactive force. In other words, it's there to service its members, to try and protect its members from bad behavior by employers. Some unions, quite a few unions, do provide additional services such as burial schemes and other investment schemes, which, you know, is absolutely fine. But their role, they do not have a role in creating employment. They represent about 2 million people who are already employed. And although they frequently talk about, talking for the working class and the poor, they don't talk about they can't represent the unemployed. And the unemployed are almost four times in number compared to the number of people who are members of trade unions. Now, it became very clear this week when a member of the ESCOM board, Ms. Pusisiwe Mavuso, gave evidence at a parliamentary committee meeting on Tuesday. And one of the things she said is that she was talking about the decision last year that the board took not to grant an increase to ESCOM employees. And she complained about being overridden by the government. I think specifically she's meaning Pravin Gordhan. And they ended up with nearly a 7% increase. Now, we've got two really, really problematic costs in our country. The cost of servicing ESCOM's debt and the money that's being paid to salaries in the public sector. And she said in no uncertain terms that they can't sit with what she calls a developmental state mandate and can't move because every single time labor threatens war. Now, none of us would be unsympathetic towards employees, union members or otherwise, who run the risk of losing their jobs. But our situation is so dire, and we are talking about doing what needs to be done for the remaining 56 million South Africans, that to have still be beholden to COSATU from the ANC side is it's almost suicidal, because they literally stop the right things from happening in order to get things on track. And so she just really highlighted what is a huge, huge problem. And I suspect that a careful look at ESCOM as well as the public sector, that they could probably retrench, the majority of their retrenchments could probably be at the managerial level, where a large number of overpaid people are employed and who can't necessarily do the job or don't bother doing the job or are incompetent. I've seen it when I was in practice in labor law. I saw it happen where a senior person decided to retrench two managers and save 20 shop floor people. And I thought, that's it, because the two managers have more chance of finding something else than the shop floor people do. So those sorts of things need to be looked at, but it is really that desperate. And as I say, I'm not an anti-union person by any means, but I really do not feel that they have the stature to be in those very, very serious discussions about what each party can do for the economy.
And sorry, what makes us almost worse or more serious at the moment, there's an article in News 24 today by a gentleman called Peter Dutoy saying analysis Cyril Ramaphosa has now become the problem, saying that he knows what he needs to do and he just doesn't have the political will to do it.
Why didn't he do it under Jacob Zuma's administration?
We read this article and we actually had quite a sad response because we've been saying that for a fair amount of the last 2 years based on what we know in the analysis of the situation. And for a journalist like Peter Dutoy to reach that conclusion now as well, I mean, that is the problem, is this leadership has got to be prepared to be unpopular and decisive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It won't, because there's a lack of leadership, and that is part of leadership, is that you don't do what is popular.
Of course.
You do what is right. It's interesting, and we've also got this weird psychology where we keep rewarding failure.
Of course we do. I mean,
it's crazy. Sorry, we are actually out of time.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to have to pick this up another time. Thank you so much. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. And maybe we can talk about, why we reward failure in South Africa.
Absolutely.
Next week.
I'll give it some serious thought.
Thank you so much. God bless. Bye bye.